about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter day by day. Yes, it does.
Oh, I don't wanna be Greatest hour of the day, the hour of grace. Amen. I told you last Sunday in Titus 2 verse 11, the word tells us that the grace has appeared to all men unto salvation. So this is the hour of grace. Amen. It appeared through Jesus Christ. And then now that he's gone, he's given us a powerful messenger, a great pastor to show us what the grace of God is. The 12th verse says it teaches us how to live in this present world. Amen. So I don't know if you heard the testimony where she cried out to Abba Father because of the words that the pastor had spoken. So this hour is a great hour. Please be on your feet and welcome our pastor to give us Jesus Christ through the word of God, to show us grace and mercy through his word. Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Put your hands together. Do better for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Where are your people? Lift up your hands to the Lord. Father, we bless your name. Mighty Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Without you, we can do nothing. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your power. Father, I pray that you will be the subject and object of all we do here. That all glory shall be yours. We welcome you. We welcome you. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Put your hands together and give three people a smile and a high five. Tell that person you are in the right place. Tell the person you are in the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. You are in the presence of God Almighty. Clap for the Lord Jesus, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Oh, no, don't go anywhere. Please be seated. Sit down, please. Oh, okay, right here. Show them. Okay, please, somebody escort them too. Let's be nice to our... Yeah. Show them. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Well, this morning, I believe that God has a beautiful message that will bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want us to be ready for that message. We have been sharing about the miracle of having a father. Wow. Abba Father. Abba. Our heavenly Father. You know, it's a miracle to have life. And it's also a miracle that God gives you the person that gives you life. Or that is actually the one through whom you get life to take care of you. Amen. Amen. Now, a child without a father is different from a child with a father. And there are names given to children who don't have fathers. Names like what? Bastard. What's the meaning of a bastard? Child, you don't even know your father. A father doesn't lay claim to you. Disown you, whatever it is. And then what? Orphan. Somebody who's an orphan. No parent. Especially when your parents die. They call, orphan. But, now all these terms can actually reflect. You know, it's a disadvantage not to have a father. Yeah. Now, spiritually, as a Christian, you can be there and you don't even know your father. Many Christians do not know God as Father. They only know God as that man that if you do something bad, man, something bad will happen to you. Yes. They see God as somebody who is waiting for you to go wrong and then to hit your head hard and kill you. Well, I have good news for you. That's not the kind of God that we have as Father in the name of Jesus. That's not the kind of father that we have. And so I want to explain to you that kind of father. And then we've been sharing that we need to relate to God as father. that Jesus Christ did not relate to just the deity part of God. Related to the Father, he came to introduce us to God the Father. In fact, he died for that job. Yes, he died for that job. In the book of John chapter 19 and verse 7, Bible explains that that's the reason why he was killed. Because he called himself the Son of God. Bible says the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." So ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners, not just to save them, but to save them and make them sons and daughters. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. To make them sons and daughters, to give them a relationship with God. So Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 from verse 11 and to verse 13, he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, when you receive Jesus Christ, he gives you the power to become the sons or children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Then verse 13 says that those such people are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they are born of God. What that means is that when somebody is born again, when somebody is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are born not of blood. It's not flesh and blood anymore. Now, Spencer, come this way. When you see Brother Spencer, there's an aspect of him that is flesh and blood. That aspect is what was born, given birth to by Mr. Banks. He's Spencer Banks. Yeah. He's Spencer Banks. Don't come and rob him like a bank. You'll just be practicing. Now, Mr. Spencer Banks, the last name is Banks because it came from flesh and blood, the father and the mother. Just like we did the baby dedication, I asked, is it the father? The flesh and blood meet, and then a baby is produced. That is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So he has a spiritual aspect. That one is not by Mr. Banks. The name of his spiritual name is not Banks. No. And his spiritual identity has nothing to do with the Banks. It has everything to do with Christ. His spiritual name, Jesus, is not born by Mr. and Mrs. Christ. That's not why he is called Jesus Christ. But he's because of the Spirit of God. He's called the Anointed One. Christ is the Anointed One. It has to do with the spirit that makes him different from what Joseph and Mary would have been able to produce. All right? So when he's born of the flesh. Now, once he's born again, which is a second birth, he is no longer that new baby that is born. That spiritual Spencer is the newborn baby. He's a born again Christian. And therefore, he has a new name. He's called Christian. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Once you are a Christian, you have the new birth. And your spiritual identity is based on the Spirit of God that is inside of you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You may sit down. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to exemplify that. All right? So what that means is that once you are born, you need to start seeing Jesus Christ came to present the Father. He's taught us to say, our Father which is in heaven. Jesus Christ related with God as Father, not God as the Lord. Abba. I mean, when you are praying and you can mention the great names, El Shaddai, Elohim, all those are great, but it doesn't make you as great a person as a person who calls and says Father. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Who identify God as Father. You know the titles, but you don't know the personality. You don't have a relationship. No real child called his father Dr. Spencer. No. My children have never called me Dr. Lindsay. Yeah. Even Reverend Lindsay. Occasionally I hear that. But Daddy. Ladies and gentlemen, let us begin to see God as Father. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So Jesus Christ gives us a new family. So Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, that once you are in the spirit, Romans 8:29, for whom did he did foreknow? I mean, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Well, let's do this first. Romans 8:29 says, for them that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. We are just like Jesus Christ. We are in the image of Jesus Christ. I look like my brothers and sisters. You should look like your brothers and sisters. Spiritually, you should look like Jesus. That's why Christian means Christ-like. We look like our brother Jesus. Yeah. Yes, so we are supposed to be conformed to the image of his son so that Jesus might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. So Jesus is our firstborn. Jesus is God's firstborn, and we follow from there. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, so I want you to all understand that we're in the family of Christ. Now, let me therefore tell you by the story I'm going to narrate how you have to relate with God. Amen. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Let's read from verse number 11. Luke chapter 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Okay? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Now, look at that word father. The father has capital or uppercase F. You know, so he's talking about a name. He said, Father. You know, there's a small letter. And the younger of them said to his father, that is describing the role. Father is describing the noun, the name. So I can say, that is my father, but not call him father.
Right.
Yeah, you can know, that is my father, but never treat him as father. And that's what many Christians do. We know that God is father only by our mental accent. We accept it mentally. But we don't relate with him. We don't come to him as father. This guy knew that that was his father and also approached him as daddy. He both knew the role that the man plays and he also addressed that role. Yeah. So you can be daddy, but I will never refer to you as daddy. And what you refer to a person actually shows what you can get from the person. Okay, so the younger of them said to his father, start by saying, Father, Daddy, Papa, Dad, Pops, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father divided unto him his living. New King James will be better. Then verse 13, keep going. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance on riotous living. And, come on, 14, keep going. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed pigs. To feed pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that the pigs ate. I don't want to say swine because many of us don't know what swine are. They're pigs. And no one gave him anything even to eat. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, I like that King James says when he came to his senses. But this one says when he came to himself, you must come to yourself who you are. You are a child of God. Yeah, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and even to spare? And I perish here with hunger. Keep going. Don't stop until I tell you, please. Keep going. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, again, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to the father. Huh? And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Keep going. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Huh? Come on. Huh? And but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Wow. May they have a celebration wherever you go in Jesus' name. When you're welcome, may there be celebration. Now his older brother, the older son or his older brother was in the field. And as he came and drew near to his house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and negotiated with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me even one young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, this your son, not my brother, your son. This is how some Christians talk. Who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Clap for the Lord Jesus. This is a classic story. Hallelujah. This is a classic story of love. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what God wants to see, the way we portray him, you know, as a father. You know, because many of us have very, very misconstrued ideas, you know, about who God the Father is. Now, this is a very classic story of restoration. And we all, every Christian, for you to be a Christian, you've been restored. Why do I say that? All mankind belonged to God at one point in time. When Adam was created, God had him to fellowship with. Adam was in the garden relating with God as father. Everything Adam needed was provided in the garden until the devil came in and then tempted Adam to deny God. And through that, Adam was thrown out of the garden. Mankind has since been searching for his way back to God, back to the garden. And God had tried so many repair mechanisms to try and bring mankind back. All right? Now, the only thing that has worked, that has restored our relationship, is Christ. It's for God to recreate man, give birth to us again, the new birth. All right? So it's a story of restoration through Christ and how we should relate with God when we come back to God, and how the fears of our evil deeds should not be the basis upon which we should relate with God, but rather the generosity and the mercy and the compassion of the Father. That's what the story is. The big calf, the fattened calf, represents Jesus Christ. Yeah, that when we get restored, okay, when we come to our senses and accept the Father, we say we're coming back. The thing that the Lord does to signify your coming back is the calf kills the one that has been there for a long time. The best, the dearest and the best. The fattened, is only one. That one alone was sacrificed to restore the son back. Yeah. The biggest celebration is the day you get born again. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, this one suggests, number one, the mercy of Abba Father. And last week we dealt with that. That, you know, when you come to the Lord, everyone that has come, the first thing that you need to know, that you should know that God knows our weaknesses and is compassionate anyway. Yeah. He knows. Do you think he didn't know that he's... Even the little brother knew that this guy has spent all the money with harlots. Do you think the father didn't know? He knows. All right? So God knows what you have done wrong. He did not kill you. He did not kill you. And number two, he accepts U-turns from the repentant hearts. And number three, we said that his throne of authority is a symbol called the throne of mercy. It's not the throne of judgment. All right? So what did we say? We said, therefore, that when we come to the Lord, come boldly, is what Hebrews chapter 4 talks about. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. All right? So you must come boldly. Many of us, when we are coming to the Lord, when we even church, many of the reason why people don't come to church is that they feel they are too sinful. Yeah. Some of you are sitting here, you are feeling you don't belong to the right place. Because this is a group of righteous people that you are sitting in the midst of. Well, I have news for you. Bible says that there is none righteous, not even one. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Even at our best, Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. Our best righteousness like filthy rags. Those times, rags were the, I don't want to say it, but rags, the filthy rags are by themselves not something you want to identify. You don't want to wear rags, especially when they are filthy. Especially when they are filthy. I mean, if this is a rag, it's clean, but it's filthy. Can you imagine a rag that by itself is torn already, and then somebody poo-poos on it, and wee-wees on it, and spits on it? You know, not just the spit that comes from the mouth, the one that comes from behind. The one that the sinus infection has made it thick, and they put it on it. That's a rag. When you are the most righteous, your best righteousness are filthy rags before the Lord. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, all of us that tend to now depend on our righteousness rather than on the blood of Jesus Christ, rather than on the fattened calf, I have news for you. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his blood that we are saved. What can wash your sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I do not come to church to preach here because I'm perfect, but because of the blood. Because I can see that the blood has worked for me. The mercy of Abba Father. This father saw this child from afar and was filled with compassion and ran from afar and brought the child and kissed him, hugged him and kissed him. Ladies and gentlemen, the compassion, the mercy of Abba Father is amazing. Count on the mercy. Many of us, when we do something wrong, let's say that you're part of the shepherds or you're a Christian in this church and you go and sleep with somebody's husband, God forbid, or somebody's wife, because of which you are afraid to come to church. You're feeling guilty to come to church. You tell everybody who calls you, oh, you know, I'm busy. I'm doing something. I'm sorting a few things. I'm working some things out. And then you wait after 2 months. Then you feel better about yourself. And then you run to church in new white clothes. Yeah. New shoes, new hair. A new feeling. I think it's been 2 months. By now, God would have forgotten. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not God that you are pleasing. It's not that God has forgiven you. It took 2 months. It took 2 months for you to forgive yourself. But it took the same day for God to forgive you. Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are the one who's unforgiving, not God. The mercy of Abba Father forgave you the day that you came. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Yeah. Bring it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 or chapter 10 verse 7. Yeah, 7 verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Do you know what that means? That when you repent, because, look, God, I'm sorry that I did this to you. Like this man called Joseph. He said in Genesis 39, verse 9, when Potiphar's wife said, come and sleep with me, he said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? Whenever you're doing something bad, don't worry about the people. Worry about God. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that one is when you repent, when you are sorry because of God, it works for you, repentance. It makes you turn around. That God does not regret that he took you back. He doesn't regret about that one. If you have repented, it didn't matter that you did it 2 minutes ago. That's why I said, even if you are watching pornography, don't think that, look, I mean, it's that's me. It's just going to continue. Accept that it's wrong. And keep telling yourself that this thing is wrong. I must stop. I did it again, but I'm going to keep trying. Yes. Don't get to a point where your conscience is seared to the point where I'm sleeping with this guy. I live with him. And therefore, I'm just going to continue. Just tell us it's wrong. It's just my circumstances. I wish if I had the next ability to get this thing right, I would do it. Amen. I'll do the right thing. Amen. I'll do the right. But until then, I'm not going to run away from God. I'm going to keep asking God, forgive me. Help me. God says, if you have a repentant heart, he says that the broken and contrite spirit, he will never cast away. He will never despise. He will never cast out. A contrite heart, a broken, no. So check your heart about what you're doing. If your heart is happy about what you're doing, that's not for you. Your sins will be carried to hell. Yeah. But if you're somebody that no matter what it is, God, I know it's wrong. It's just hard. Yeah. Godly sorrows, when you're sorry because of God, it produces repentance. Yeah. That leads to salvation, saves you from whatever you did. And God does not regret about that thing anymore. Clap for the Lord Jesus. But when your sorrow is the sorrow of this world, it causes death. That is separation. When the only reason why you're so sad that you did is because the pastor caught you. Because the church members know about it. Because, you know, it's on Facebook. That is the reason why you're sorry. You see, that does not bring any salvation, doesn't it? You are regretting. If they hadn't caught you, you would have continued. Yeah, you find new ways. But now, every thief looks repentant. Every thief you catch. When you see the police, a few of them, they are just repentant. I intended to do it. If you leave me, I'll kill again. There are people like that. But generally, people, ladies and gentlemen, it is called the sorrow of this world. You have forgiven yourself. That's why it took you 2 months to come to church. It doesn't take me 2 months to come. I will stick with the Father. Listen, when you have a Father, you don't run away from the Father when you are in trouble. You run to the Father when you are in trouble. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You run to the Father when you are in trouble. When my children are in trouble, they run to me. They run to me. Yeah. Recently, I was away and they called me. My car is not moving. I said, you use the car, right? Yes, daddy. You turn the light on. Oh, you know, they turned the light on. You kept the light on. They couldn't move. The battery is dead. I sorted it out. I just said, call this person. You'll get help. 1, 2, 3. Somebody said, daddy, where the car? They were trying to solve the problem. They couldn't. Because I parked my car in such a way that you can't park another car in the garage. So they could not park another car to jump. To give it a jump started. So they had no choice but to call me. They called me. Yeah. So I called somebody. You know what a person did? And let me tell you, it's a trick you need to learn. I didn't even know it. That friend came and lifted the battery from the car, pulled it outside near his car, and connected the cables to it and kick-started the battery. Went and put it back without a car. The battery was now strong again. And then move the car. They say, daddy has solved my problem. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You don't run away from the Father. You come to the Father when you are in trouble, when you are in sin. When you come to your senses of who you are and who your father, when you have, you see, many people, they are aware of who they are, but not who their father is. Yeah. Many Christians are so self-conscious, self-aggrandizing, selfish, self-centered, not God-centered. And that's a source of many of our problems. Melvo, if you know who God is, you will never run away from him. You will run towards him. You will run towards him. Because he, as you are running towards him, you know, let me tell you something. Because of your guilt, you are so slow in coming. Can I get somebody walking in guilt coming? Walking in, look at me, the daddy. He's coming. This boy has gone to destroy all my living in hallowed thieves. So he's coming. He's trying so hard, slowly to come. But I see him from afar. And the father speaks the process and runs to this guy. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That tells you what's going on in the father's heart. The problem is the guy does not feel confident, but the father is very confident about him. Ladies and gentlemen, today I came to bring you news. God is not so worried about the sin in you as much as he's about the son in you, not the sin in you. There's no sin that God has ever never seen. Yeah, you can never out-sin God. There is nothing. Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. Whatever you have done, he's seen it before. There are people who are alive who were not killed for what they did, which you just did. You are the just recent sinner. Yeah, you even learned it from somebody. And the person is alive. Let me ask you, even you, how many will kill your child for what he did wrong? Come, Akwi. Ofambi is not a saint. Has he done things that have hurt your heart before? Let me call daddy because you are a mother. Daddy, come. Have you killed any of your children for doing something wrong before?
No, at all.
Do you still feed them?
Of course, daily.
Do you still live with them?
Oh, yes. And they even invade my room.
They come to your room.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, why do we think that even this unrighteous evildoer, look, I've solved a lot of him's marital problems. He's not the easiest man to live with. But even, look at the wife. She won't keep quiet. Even this some way husband who's trying his best to be a good husband, even he, when his children sin, he does not flush them into the toilet. Many of you, when you see your baby's poo-poo, you clean the baby sometimes with your own clothes when diapers don't exist. I've seen mothers that children have wee-weed into their mouth. They didn't cut off their tongue. I've seen mothers whose clothes have been dirtied by poo-poo. They washed everything. They washed the baby and brought the baby, although they knew the baby would do it again. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's what the Lord is. Even this man is able to keep. Go. God, you are the one who's worried about the sin. Because you, when people sin against you, you don't forgive them. But God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let the devil keep you on a guilt trip and keep you away from the Father whose goodness you need. It's when this guy came to himself, came to his senses that my father is not that bad. That's when. And he was proven right. The father rushed the mercy of Abba Father. People, God is more interested in the son inside of you than the sin. There may be only one letter, but the huge world of difference. Only one letter, O and I, but it's huge. I'm more interested in my son than what he did. That is why most parents, when their children are funny, they draw closer to them. And many of us say, it's because of your love, you condone this. That's why this child is the way they are. No, it's because of the compassion of a mother. It's because of the compassion of a father. The father tells himself or the mother, if I don't support this guy, who would? You want me to give up my child? I have hope that one day she'll be okay. God has hope that one day it will be okay with you. God has hope that the blood will keep working. And one day, you, the sinner, you, the thief, will become the policeman. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Sinner can become a preacher. You don't know what I've done to stand here even to preach to you. It has taken a lot of blood. The mercy of Abba Father. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I believe. I never ran away from God. I never stopped praying because I've sinned. I never stopped reading the Bible. I never stopped coming. Where else am I going to get help? I look up to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Don't make your face that sorrowful, because it's good news. The next thing I want you to understand is the generosity of Abba Father. The generosity. The generosity of Abba Father. The generosity. This story shows the generosity of God. The Bible says that first of all, write this down, the number one. It is a right, it's your right, your privy. It is the right of a true Christian to cry to God with expectation. I'll say it again. It is the right, I'm talking about the generosity of Abba Father. It is the right of every true Christian to cry to God in expectation and in faith. Hallelujah. Generosity is a thing of the Father. Now you see, let me tell you something. How do I know that God is generous? Because this guy was able to ask for half the kingdom, half of everything, and God gave it. The Father gave it. I think that Christians are some of the cheapest people I've found in your requests. Yeah. Christians are so, give yourself the short end of the stick too much when it comes to asking from God. The guy was bold enough. Give me a shoe. Give me half of all your riches. Yeah. It's mine, Daddy. Give me what belongs to me. Do you think that God created everything in this world to eat it by himself? God does not eat steak. Even the steak he eats, say, burn it before I eat it. Burnt offering. The steak is yours. Bible says that cattle on 1,000 hills, they belong to the Lord. Generous God. You know, sometimes when I look at my children, I can see that if I can become like them, I will do well in God. My children can ask me, Daddy, I want to drive. When they were little. No, I'm serious. They would arise and tell me, Daddy, can you give me your car key? Why? I want to drive to school today. No, it may be funny to you because you are calculating. But I can see a child who believes in the generosity of his father. My father can give me his car. When I talk to you about Uber Eats, you may not understand it. But a true believer will request in expectation of the generosity of Abba Father. These guys, when they were kids, they will go to school and hear about Disney. The next day, Daddy, next week, you are taking us to Disney. Yeah. And they expect you to say yes. Clap for the Lord Jesus. They expect you to... Look, they did it and did it so long, we were forced to send them to Disney. Yeah. And Disney, they've gone twice. And I'm planning another one by the grace of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I had never gone to Disney. This what? Disney? It ain't gone nowhere. But these boys managed to count on the generosity of their father. Said, my father can do it. Can do it. Can send us anywhere. Yeah. Last year, I was shocked. I mean, 2 years ago, I sent their big brother or something to Ghana. Last year, they told me all of them want to go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've realized that when a child talks to you like that, even if you don't have it, something turns. Let me do it for them. I'll make a way for them. I will make a way for them. I'm talking about the generosity of Abba Father. Yeah. Listen. They said, I want to go to this. One day they told me, Daddy, come out and play with us. Not please, oh. Not, there's no please. Just come out and play. Yeah. They told, I don't like snow. They had gone out in the snow. Why do you think I came to Memphis? I lived in New York for 6 years. I didn't like snow. One day snow had really, they called, Daddy, come out. Let's play. Let's play in the snow. They had made snowballs. They wanted to do snowballs and snowman things. I didn't want to do any such thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I put on my gloves, which I don't like wearing, my hair, my ear, whatever it is, and I came out to play, make snowman for the first time in my life. Something I would never have done, but they requested it boldly. Come boldly. Some of your requests are too small. Some of us are too afraid. Some of us, we are afraid. If it's a husband, look, God is generous. When it was time for me to marry, I told God, I want a woman who has dimples. Yeah. I put in a lot of detail to my gen. What God can create. I said, I don't want one dimple. I want two. No, I'm serious. Generous Father, clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. I got two big dimples. I even eat ice cream from there. Yeah. I put ice cream there and I eat. When it pouring inside, I chase it to the mouth and I take it back. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. The generosity of Abba Father. I told God, I want a beautiful girl. A girl who serves you. A girl who can sing. All these details were there. I said, number one, I want somebody who will serve you and serve you with me. Yeah. Next week, we are celebrating the consecration of Episcopal Sister. Yeah. As she comes, by the grace of God. Everybody must bring at least two souls if you believe in what the Lord has done. Yeah. Look, yeah, that's a clap for the Lord Jesus. She's now an Episcopal Sister. God put all that there. Yeah. Christians must learn. Learn to ask. And to ask in faith. Amen. He said, give me half. Half. I want half. This boy, this little boy. And he got it. And you know something? That little boy, that big brother, I'll bring it there, you know. He said in the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, even his kingdom. He wants to share his kingdom with you. It is his good pleasure. I strongly believe, God, that we should not restrict ourselves when we're asking. Yeah. Let's be like these little children. Sometimes I'm inside, they open the Lord with some impunity, the door with impunity. You don't know what I'm eating inside that room. But they open confidently when they were children. Now I think that they are thinking straight. Yeah. It's their Father's place. Yeah. Yeah. Whether I'm eating ice cream from their mother's dimple, do you know? But they come boldly. May you be bold in the things you ask. How do I also know that Christians don't like asking? When we have prayer meetings, that's when the fewest people come around. Fewest people. Because you are not used to asking God. You are used to struggling by yourself. Number two, God releases generously when we ask in faith. Generously, when we ask in faith. Now, let me tell you the differences between the two Christians. Luke chapter 15, I'm going to show you something that will surprise you. Many of the people that accuse God of not answering prayers, they don't even ask. Luke, did you hear what I said? Whoever is at the back. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. Amen. The Bible says that, but when the brother came, He was angry. The big brother was angry. They had told him that the father had killed a fattened calf. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. Then verse 29. So he answered and said, these many years, whatever it is. Then verse 30. But as soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood on harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then verse 31. Listen to. No. Look at verse 30 again. Look at verse 29. This brother said, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never even gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. You see, this guy never asked. Yeah. Now that's a problem. This guy, many Christians, you think your righteousness is good. You think that God will do. Look, I used to say that I don't ask for things I think it's wrong. You never asked. Bible says, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 16, verse 23, 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask the Father in my name, he will give you. You have asked nothing of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, therefore you have sorrow. Amen. John 16, 23 and 24. Please pay attention at the back. And in that day you will ask nothing. Most assured I say to you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This boy, most Christians, they don't like to pray and ask God. Because you have credit card, oh, it's going to be okay. Because you have a job, it's going to be okay. But you may have a job, but still ask God. Still ask God. I'm telling you, still ask God. Learn to bring everything to God in prayer. This boy asked. God knew that he likes saying big things. So even the calf was the biggest. But this boy, he didn't ask. Amen. Next thing you need to know is that there's a portion of inheritance that is there for you. Then the fourth thing you need to know is even returning sin. Listen, let me tell you something. When you pray, believe God. Anytime your idea of getting from the Lord is I have to fast and pray and have pain so that God will give me. It's not true. Fasting is supposed to deal with demons. Fasting is supposed to bring you a great presence. Fasting is not to ask for what is yours. Yeah. Even in Daniel chapter 10, when he fasted for 21 days, the Bible says that God told Daniel, the very first day you put your heart there to ask, it was released. But only that it took 21 days because the prince of Persia withstood your answer. That's the only reason why we fast, to stop the devil from holding back the answer. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Not because the Lord has not answered. Yeah, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 14. Go and read it. He said, because that is why I've come, because it took 20, as you are fasting, you were, and God sent Archangel Michael to now wrestle with the prince of Persia and bring the results. But I said, the first day you put your heart out there, I answered it. God is not stingy with answers. No, at all. Then the next thing is, even returning sinners should expect God's generosity. And I didn't say even sinners, I said returning sinners, repentant sinners. That's why no matter what you do, repent at heart. Amen. Yeah. It's very important. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Freely. Freely. Freely give us all things. Ladies and gentlemen, Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. If you love God, if you are a child who loves God, who show in worship, who show in obedience, try and love God. There is nothing he will withhold from you. Even if you are a sinner, God loves his children. Especially, look, God is looking for people to turn away from the devil so that he can embrace them. All that he's doing is restoring people. Do you think that your sin is going to keep you away from him? He's so willing to forgive us. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now try to love God for who he is and see him as the generous Abba Father. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call upon me and I will answer thee and I will show you great and mighty things that you yourself, you don't know of. Philippians 4:19, the 419 script. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. But I want to end by telling you a story. As you go home, think about this story. There was a certain husband. A certain husband who had committed adultery. And the wife was very mad. Offended. And the wife had cooked good food. And the man was going on a long day's job and was hungry. And then came and sat, knowing very well what he had done. The wife was a Christian. In her heart, she had forgiven the man. But the man did not believe or know it. So the man came. Food had been cooked. Every one of the children had been served. And food was sitting on the table. And the man came and was just walking back and forth. Pacing back and forth. And will open the food and close it and walk. Will open that food and close it and walk. Then the woman shouted, Matthew 7:7. Hey, the man said, there she goes again. Using Christian jargons against me. He'll go and then he'll come back and open the food. His mouth will water. I'm so hungry. If I go, there's no food. I'm going to be too hungry. I wish my wife would give me food. Then the wife will scream, Matthew 7:7. Why? Did I tell you to bring the scripture? When you tell you to bring scripture, you don't bring. Then he'll go and come. Matthew 7:7. The man just looked so hungry, mouth watering, so hungry, and just walked, going to the car. I started crying. Where will I get food? Stomach is crawling, making noise, and then drove off. When he went to work and they shut the place for that long meeting, then something said, what is this? Matthew 7:7. Who is Matthew 7:7? What kind of insult is it? What kind of a curse is my wife cursing me? Then he decided to open Google Matthew 7:7. And he Googled Matthew 7:7. And ladies and gentlemen, lo and behold, the word was ask. Hey. You see? Her timing is so poor. She's not in the spirit with us. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The man said, man, so my wife was just telling me to ask her. I was the problem. I didn't ask her. How come I'm so hungry? Ladies and gentlemen, many Christians are like that husband. Because of our own sins and our own inner insecurities about God and our own faithlessness issues, we think that God is against us. But he's always asking. Matthew 7:7. Just ask. The generosity of Abba Father. May we know the scriptures concerning the generosity of Abba Father so that we don't walk around like paupers. Put your hands together, rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, Matthew 7:7. Wow. Put your hand on your heart. Tell the Lord, I love you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I know you're generous. I will never hold back. I know you love me. Everything that I need, you can provide. And from now, I'll keep asking. Make me to understand how generous you are, how merciful you are. Thank you, Father. Put your hand on your heart and tell the Lord. Ask the Lord for something. in this year, before the year ends, the prayers you are praying, you watch it. God will show you a miracle. God will show you a miracle. Ask something that you have assumed will never be given to you. I'm expecting testimonies by the end of the year. It's only 2 weeks away. Don't be afraid. You are telling yourself it's too short. But 2 weeks is a lot of time. A day in the house of the Lord is like 1,000. And 1,000 is like a day. Father, I pray for divine provision for your children as we request from you in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to surrender to Abba Father. You want to come. As you make one bold step, God will run 35 steps towards you. God knows your heart right now. You want to ask the Lord, Lord, restore me in a relationship with you. I have kept back thinking that I was not worthy. But now your word teaches me that I am worthy. Help me, Father. If you want to give your life to Jesus and start a new relationship with him as a father to son, father to daughter relationship, lift up your right hand wherever you are. You want to start a new relationship with him right now. Right now, lift up your hand. I'll pray with you wherever you're standing. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. You want to start a new relationship. God wants to restore you. Lift up that right hand. I see 4 hands lifted up. You want to join them. Lift up your right hand. Father, look at those hands that are lifted. Bless them. Bless them. Anoint these hands for your provision in the name of Jesus. If your hand is lifted up, come. Come. I want to just pray for you specially. Come. Clap for them as they come. 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 Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Come. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Stand right here. The generosity of Abba Father, the mercy of Abba Father is reaching you. Lift up your hands and let's pray. Can you come and stand this way, please, my dear? All of you say this prayer after me. Say, Father, I am back. I am restored for life. All my past and present sins, I surrender to you. Because I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because what else can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for me. God raised him from the dead. By this faith, I am born again. I am restored to you. I am your child. Jesus is my big brother. I refuse to serve the devil. I will serve the devil no more. I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ as he served you. Help me to serve you like he did. Now write my name in the book of life and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, bless, restore, establish, cleanse, use, stabilize. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed. You know I like.